Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then shall I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Listen to verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, wilt thou not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. And that's reading the whole chapter. Much more than I normally read, and more than I'll ever preach out, I'm sure. I want to go back to verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do you realize who is saying this prayer, who wrote this, where this came from? This was the king of Israel. This was the giant slayer. This was the one that Israel praised, saying he had killed his 10,000s. This was the man after God's own heart. Do you realize who's praying this prayer? This is the fellow that laid out a church. This is the person that lifted himself up and exhorted himself. This is the person who lusted, who committed adultery, who lied, who murdered. That's who this is. So for the Lord will help me, this is David saying, I'm broken. I don't care who you are, there are times in your life that you're just broken. We've all been there, and if we'd admit it, we're there every day. The Bible says, in him we live and move and have his very being. That's how we get by. I think Brother Bobby sings a song, I Can't Even Walk. without you holding my hand. See, that's where we're at. We can't open our eyes. We can't go ahead. You make your heart beat one more time. You can't do it. God does that. If it's His will, we'll catch one more breath. And if not, we'll die. You see, friends, we've all been broken. This is David. When he was on the ground, and that child he and Bathsheba had conceived was sick and about to die, and him pouring his heart out to the Lord, it did not matter that he was a king. It did not matter how many great victories he had won or how many giants he had slain. It did not matter that God loved him and he was a man after God's own heart. In that moment, he was broken. And the only thing that could be done, the only person that could help David was God. When you're broken, the only person that can help you is God.
Amen.
Now you pray for a few minutes.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him good.
We read, let's go back in David's history for a little while. David wasn't always the king, was he? We read where Samuel anointed him, and before David, Saul was the king of Israel. Saul had a son named Mephibosheth, and whenever David became king, his nursemaid took Mephibosheth up. He was just a small boy, maybe around 5, and they were feared for their lives, and they ran from the palace, and in their hurry and in their confusion, she tripped, she fell, she dropped the child, he broke his leg, he was broken, and was lame from that point forward. And years later we read where David said, "Is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show him the kindness of God, that I may show him a blessing?" And there was a servant named Ziba that spoke up that used to work for King Saul. He said, "Yeah, there's one, that old boy Mephibosheth. He's down there in Lodibar in that dry and barren place. He's been down there for a long time. Last I heard," just me talking, "the last I heard he was still holding on, down there broken, couldn't help himself, had to have somebody to wait on him hand and foot. Oh, what a shape that he's in, but he's still down there." And David said, "Send for him." And he sent for him, and Mephibosheth came before the king, a broken man, lost everything, had nothing to show. And he said, "Who am I that you'd send for me? Just a dog as I." David said, "I want to show you kindness. I want to restore everything that your father had. I want to give it to you. And you'll be sitting at my table continually." You see, you may be here, be broken, but if you make your way to the king, he can restore you. If you can make your way down and have just a little talk with the king, it'll make all the difference. He restored Mephibosheth, and he let him sit at his table. There came a time, whenever, you pray for me, I really need God this morning. There came a time when David left that country, and he came back several days later, and when he came back, there was Mephibosheth, and he hadn't bathed, he hadn't shaved his whiskers, he hadn't dressed his feet, he hadn't done any of that. He'd gone without, he'd been neglected, he was down. And during the time that David was gone, that servant Ziba rose up and tried to take everything that Mephibosheth had. And whenever David came to Mephibosheth and talked to him, he told him, he said, "Just let Ziba have it all. As long as I can sit at your table continually." You see, to be from the presence, well, I just didn't think about this till just now. To be from the presence of the king means you're broken.
Amen.
the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. It's not, and I want to say this. Jennifer does a good job. She usually keeps me informed about how we're doing as far as the offering and things like that. And I appreciate that you want to contribute to your church. But it's going to take more than your money for us to be a good church. So we need to make a little sacrifice. The Bible says this, he's nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and will save such as be of a contrite spirit. I don't know your particular situation, but I know God does. Amen. Or he wouldn't have given me to this morning. So we read about a man that had tried to help himself. His friends had tried to help him. They had counseled him. They had tried to restrain him, to keep him from hurting himself. They had done all they know to do, and seemed like nothing helped. The man's name was Legion, and the Bible doesn't say, but in my mind, I can just see maybe Legion at one time having a family, maybe having a wife and children of his own, and all that got destroyed. All of his friendships ruined, hopeless. Everything that he had lost. Why? Because he was broken. Because he couldn't help the situation he was in. He couldn't do anything about it. And when Jesus stepped off the ship at the Sea of Gadarenes, he was so broken that he said, I pray thee, torment me not. In other words, I've had all I can take. I've gone as far as I could go. As far as I'm concerned, this might as well just be the end. But I know he thought he was broken, maybe beyond repair, until he met the Savior, until he met one that could pick the broken pieces up and put them back together again. And I'm telling you, when the Lord puts his hands on your life and he takes the pieces of your broken heart, he can put it back together better than it ever was to begin with. You know about Legion. You've heard me preach it. You've read the story. There was a herd of swine feeding, and they begged the Lord that he wouldn't send them out into the deep, but he'd rather send them into the swine. A huge herd of swine. I've seen hog pen with 5 or 6 hogs. Some of you have hogs. Think about 2,000. Now that's a big number. This is how bad off Legion was. This is how bad Legion was broken. He was so broken that when the demons were cast into the herd of swine, all 2,000 of them ran straightway, ran violently, without pause or hesitation, ran straight into the sea and were drowned. That's how tormented the man was and how broken he was. You can't tell me you've gone too far. You can't tell me that the Lord can't do anything with you. I don't care if you're shattered into pieces. I don't care if you're pounded into dust. Wherever your situation is, I've got a Savior that can put your life back together again and make you a new creature. I came before him, a broken little sinner, lost and undone, and he took that nothing, that nobody, that handful of dust, and made a fit creature for the kingdom of heaven. If he can do that for me, he can work a miracle for you. And Legion's neighbors said, he's gone too far. I tried to help that old boy. I couldn't do nothing with him.
And his brother might have said, I know he cut himself. He hurt himself. We got people like that in this world today. Did you know that? They just can't, they're bent on their own destruction. I watched him when he cut himself. I begged him not to. I tried to restrain him, hold him back, keep him from hurting himself. I tried to give him good counsel. I tried to help him every way I could, just couldn't do a thing with him. The best I could do, he just broke the restraints, he broke the chains, and he ran off where he came from, naked again, in the tombs. Oh, I think about that family that he left behind. I think about the home that was broken. I think about all the friendships that were ruined and lost because he was broken. Did you know Satan would like for you to be in the same shape? He'd like to ruin your home. He'd like to have you in misery and despair. He'd like to have you on the street naked and determined to destruct yourself. I'm telling you, and he won't be satisfied until you are, but shame on him. I've got a God that speaks peace. Shame on him. I've got a God that gives me joy on the inside. Shame on him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Did you hear about them swine that was drowned down there in the ocean? Did you hear? Come on. Let's go see that. Come on, let's go see that. And when they got down there, there was that old fella that everybody had tried to help and nobody could get anything done with him. There he was, but he wasn't naked. There he was, but that tormented look wasn't on his face any longer. There he was. And when he looked at him, he smiled at you.
Amen. Amen.
There he was. And he just had such a peaceful look on his face. Sitting down there. Right at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Just as close as he could get.
Amen.
If you will, if you want happiness, get close to Jesus. He said, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh unto you. If you're miserable on the way of a transgressor is hard. If you're miserable, if you're lost, if you're broken, do your best to get to the Savior. He's got a miracle just for you. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. This is where we're at today, and you pray. Will you pray for me? I would appreciate it if you'd pray for me. This is where we're at today. I'm okay. There's not a person in this house that's not said those words. I'm okay. Well, are you? Really? Are you really? If you'd admit it, we're all broken.
Amen.
Here's where we're at. God, there's seven things that God hates, right? What's one of them? A proud look. He hates it. My people have committed them two evils. Johnny did a good job this morning. Now, I believe this is in Scripture. They have forsaken the fountain of living water. What is that? That's the Savior.
That's right.
That's Jesus. They've forsaken the fountain of living water. Now, what's the second part of that? And they've hewn them out cisterns. Do you know what a cistern is? Some of you younger folks may not know. And that's okay. Sometimes words kind of fade through the ages of time. So let me educate you a little bit this morning. A cistern is something that's made to hold water. The water doesn't run through the cistern. The water just sits in the cistern. Do you know what happens to that water? Now, Chuck, is this not right? Do you know what happens to that water that sits in the cistern over time? If it's never stirred, if there's no water ever added, and it just sits right there, what happens to that kind of water? It stagnates. It stinks. And we're worse than that. Because you know what kind of cistern that we're relying on today? A broken cistern that can hold no water. We don't even have that nasty stuff to depend on. We don't have any water because we're relying on a broken cistern. Oh, Flynn, let me tell you something. We rely on all kinds of things. We rely on our health. We rely on our money. We rely on our job. We rely on our family. You know what we need to do? Quit relying on these broken cisterns and go back to the fountain of living water. What we need to do is fall before the Lord prostrate and humble and beg Him to fix our brokenness.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you preached to the brokenhearted, to the sinner. I like the way you preach to the young people. Well, let me preach to the old people.
Come on now. Come on.
Did you know God don't say you preach this to the youngins, you preach this to the old. He just says preach. That's what He wants me to do, so that's what I'm going to do my best to do for you this morning. Let's go back over here to Jesus' feet. You be my Jesus today.
Amen.
The New Testament says there was a woman that had an alabaster box full of precious oil. It was very, very valuable. As Jesus sat at the house of a Pharisee, and the Pharisee thought, no doubt, look here what I've got. Who I could tell was down at my house. This woman was uninvited. This woman was not supposed to even be there. But she heard that Jesus was going to be there. So she made her way down to His feet. And she took that alabaster box full of precious ointment. That alabaster box that could have been sold and fed many a poor people. That alabaster box that a certain disciple already had his eye on and wanted to sell and get great price out of it. Oh, but that wasn't the intent that the Savior had for it. She took the most precious thing she had and she broke it. And she poured the oil on Jesus' feet. And she washed it with the tears that fell down from her face. And then she took her hair and she dried His feet with her hair. Oh, preacher, we don't believe in that foot washing stuff. Well, how about this? Do you believe in a little humility? Do you believe in being humble? Do you believe that if God's going to use you, you have to fall before Him broken, before He'll use you to be a blessing and a help to somebody. This woman that didn't belong, this woman that gave the best that she had, this woman that broke apart the most precious thing she had and gave it to the Savior, the Pharisee said, come on, honey, you don't belong in here. But Jesus said, leave her alone. What she's done will be for a memorial for her for all generations. If you want to do great things for God, get wipe that broken carcass away from you and pour out that oil that's on the inside. Oh, preacher, what oil are you talking about? I'm talking about the oil that Samuel anointed David with. What kind are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about that oil where the Spirit was with him from that day forward. You know what we need to do? We need to have the power of God in our life every day.
We might point our finger at the Pharisee and say, well, he's a bad fella. At least he was religious. If you really want to find the villain in this story, look at the box. It was the only thing keeping the oil from Jesus. What's the only thing in your life keeping you from real? Have you ever been there before? Preacher man, you ever been there before? Singers, you ever been there before? The power of God's so strong, you just kind of forget where you are and who you're with. And that joy bubbles up. I believe one of the writers said it was like a wheel inside a wheel. One of the other writers said it was a fire shut up inside my bones. Why aren't you there right now? You know why? This flesh, specifically, if you won't go that far, the flesh between this ear and this ear. We try to thank God. You can't do it. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways higher than our ways. And we just flat can't admit that we're broken. You can give me another 5 minutes and I'll be done.
Come on.
All right. Remember down there when Jesus was at the house and there were so many there that you couldn't even get through the door? I wonder how many of those people going to church that day walked right by the man that was sick of the palsy. They didn't even notice him. On their way to the house of God, they never thought twice about him. Thank God everybody wouldn't like that.
Amen.
Thank God he had a few friends. He couldn't help himself, but they were determined to get him the help that he needed. So you know their story. One born of four, and they carried him down there where Jesus was supposed to be in the house. And when they got there, what did they find? Did they walk right in and say, here, Jesus? Did they walk right into the house, right through the crowd, and say, here, Jesus, here's my friend, and he needs you today? They couldn't do that, could they? Why? We focus on the miracle, but we don't focus about the folks that were in the way, do we? Listen, if you'll let Satan, he'll set you right in the middle of somebody's path to get to Jesus. If you'll listen to Satan, he'll make you a stumbling block that keeps a sinner from praying and saying, save me. I'm telling you today, if we focus on this flesh and the things that goes on in our ear, you know who works between this ear and this ear? Satan does. And he'll tell you the awfulest bunch of lies. He's a liar, isn't he? And he's a father of it. And if we'll listen to him, he'll have you hating your brother. If we listen to him, he'll have us doing and saying things we'd have never thought about doing 2 weeks ago. I'm here to tell you today, if we'll listen to him, he'll have us having violence. If we listen to him, he'll have us tearing up the church.
church if we listen to him. I'm here to tell you today, this is what Jesus said for me to do and said for you to do. Love one another. It even says love your enemies and pray for them. You know why we can't do that? Our pride won't let us. You know why we can't do that? Because we cannot admit that we're broken. We're just broken. So when I see my brother, and Philip, you live a godliest life as any man I know. When I see my brother, and he's not where he needs to be, is it my job to kick him? Is it my job to point my finger? Let's go back to the King James Version Bible. I go to the covenant every once in a while. I go to the tally board every once in a while, Sunday school board. So let's go right here. King James Version only used for preaching and teaching in this church. Why would we have that posted? Why would that be important? I believe it's the divinely inspired word of God, don't you?
Amen.
Do you really?
Amen.
So if you do, I believe it. Now, Gary, is this right? I believe it's around Galatians chapter 6, something like that. If a brethren be overtaken in a fault. This is instructions to the church. This is what this is. The world don't understand this. That's somewhere close in there, isn't it? If a brethren be overtaken in a fault, and I've seen churches that first mistake some young church member makes, they kick them out the door. Church discipline is fine, but we need to follow the Bible when we do it. If we don't do it by the Bible, we're just as wrong as they are. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's finish the verse. If a man be overtaken in a fault, and we all have them, amen. Do you have faults?
Amen.
My wife sits right back there. She can tell you some of mine. I can tell you some of hers. But that's not what we're supposed to do, is it, Tammy?
No.
It says for me to confess my faults one to another.
Amen.
Did you know you're not perfect?
Amen.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are, and this, here's a qualifier right here, spiritual. If I'm cold as a frog, I don't need to try to straighten you out.
Amen.
I need to straighten myself out till I can feel the Spirit.
Yeah.
Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. What? We're not supposed to excommunicate them. We're not supposed to mark our name off the roll book. No! We're to make every effort to reconcile them back to the church. We're to go above and beyond to show them love and to restore them to full fellowship. That's not to say we condone their sin. That's not to say that we approve of their behavior, but it's to get them to repent like David did in the scripture I read to you so that they can enjoy. You know what David asked for? He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Any preacher that'll tell you that it's all roses and sunshine to be a Christian is lying to you. There are broken hearts when you serve the Lord. There are hard times when you serve the Lord. There's an old song we used to sing. It says, I've been over mountains and I've walked through the valleys. And these troubles sometimes have had my ship,
But heaven eternal at the end of the journey will be worth every mile of the trip. You may know this one better. It'll be worth it after all, child. You see, your pastor's not perfect. You see, I make mistakes. I even get angry. And sometimes I do things I shouldn't do. Because this flesh cannot be perfect. It is broken. It is flawed. The nature of a man is to sin. Did you know that? The nature of a man is to sin. And the only way that we can get rid of that sin is for the Lord to blot out all our iniquities. You see, we're all broken. We're all broken. Well, I'm all right, are you? So I told you who David was, and this whole chapter was about him repenting. Remember Job, a perfect and upright man that feared God and eschewed evil? He was such a man that even God himself told Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" You know what Job thought of himself? He said he was a worm. A worm. Little, humble, lowly. I've got news for you. I'm barely going to make it. You're barely going to make it. For it's by his mercies that we are not consumed. How do you know I'm not going to barely just make it, preacher? Okay. For if the righteous, and I can't even call myself righteous, can you? As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us about righteousness, doesn't it? It says, for all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. What good's a filthy rag? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Three kinds of people. The righteous, the sinner, the ungodly. Now, I'm not going to point fingers. But which category do you fall in? And I'm not saying that's me 100% of the time. But I can't say I peg out over here on the righteous scale. There's times I'm way over on the other end of the spectrum. You see, friend, we all are broken from time to time. We all fall short of the glory of God. How many giants have you slayed? I'll pause for a second and let you count. How many giants have you slayed? How many victories have you had? You see, if David was broken, if David, the king of Israel, if David, a man after God's own heart, was broken, then surely I am from time to time. Surely you are from time to time.
Amen.
You see, David was so broken, he made Joab, the captain of hosts, send Uriah up into the hottest part of the battle and murdered him. You might as well call it murder. David didn't take a spear and pierce Uriah in the heart. David didn't take a gun and pull the trigger. But David might as well have, because he murdered Uriah. His command was what caused the death of Uriah. A godly man that only wanted to please God and work for God's people. Be careful. Well, you want to know why They got a thing called church hurt. You ever heard tell that? You want to know why most folks won't come to church? It's not because we lock the doors and won't let them in. It's not because we threaten to beat them up. It's not because we extort them. It's because just a little bit of deadly poison slipped out. And maybe we need to pray for some discernment. Because you know what? It's easy to let words slip out your mouth before they run through your ears, before they run through your mind. I've hurt people in my ignorance, just not thinking about how things sounded when they came out of my mouth. And you know what I have to do about that? I have to go to the Lord and say, forgive me, and then I have to go to my brother. Is this going to be all right to preach, Philip? I have to go to my brother. Are you going to take this? I know. You gave me a lot of amens there a minute ago. This is King James Version Bible 2. If you think, is this the Bible? Can you find this in the King James Version? If you think your brethren have an ought against you. I'll just get up and preach and pretend everything's all right. And you know what will happen? No spirit. And that poison will fester. And it'll kill cells. And that body will begin to weaken. And you'll have no power with God. If ye think your brother have an ought against you, leave. Is this the Bible?
Amen.
Leave your gift at the altar.
Amen.
You going to back me on this? In other words, I shouldn't sing another song. I shouldn't preach another message. I shouldn't say another prayer. Until I go and be reconciled. You know what keeps us from doing that? Pride. Ask my wife back there. The hardest thing for me to do, the hardest thing for us to do is say, I am sorry. I was wrong. You're human, aren't you? Then we get wrong. Flesh gets the best of us. They're not going to think more of you if you try to pretend and have no power of God with you. If you want to win people, humble yourself, admit you're broken, and fix things with your brother and praise the Lord. There rose strife between the disciples as who should be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And you know what he had to say? Well, you boys has been with me. I'm going to put you right. That's not what he said, was it? No. We've got people sitting in this auditorium this morning that's been in Dutch Bottoms for 10, 20, 30, 40, and I dare say, Bobby Reed, you were probably carried in here. Is that who the Lord recognized? Ezra? Come here, honey. Come on. Unless you come as humble as a little child, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I remember when this little girl was broken too.
That's how you've got to come before the Lord. You see, it wasn't the ones that had cast out demons in his name. It wasn't the ones that had worked miracles in his name. It was the children. Now, I'm a nothing and a nobody. But I thank God I'm one of his little children. Amen. That's all I ever want to be. I just want to be his little child. Here's this little child. She's got hair like her mama. She's got them Douglas eyes. Oh, it's easy to tell which family she belongs to. And when you see this little child, I hope you see Jesus in me. I hope you see some Christ-like features where you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that must be one of his little children. Because you see, I fail. She'll always be an Ellison. I'll always be a strange. How about this? I'll always be God's child.
Amen.
But if Satan has his way, he'll put this broken carcass between me and the Lord. And you won't be able to see the Lord in me like you need to. You see, God's got plans for you. There's so much more he could do if you would get this brokenness out of your life.
Amen.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. Did you know you can't get to the Lord without your heart being broken? Here's what Paul said, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. All right. Somebody need to pray. Remember that little song?